Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program is Post Wolverines recordings for Jeanette by bands that consist of white musicians. And the three bands that I'm going to play records of today are first the Friars Society, then the original Memphis Melody Boys, and finally Lads Black Aces. I will have four recordings from each band from 1922, 1923, and 1921. Let's start with the Friars Society Orchestra. I will read the information available on this band in Wikipedia, and here is what it says. The New Orleans Rhythm Kings in its earliest stages was the brainchild of drummer Mike Ragbaby Stevens, solely in the sense that he sent the first telegram to Albert Bruni's about going to Chicago to make a band and find better gigs than what New Orleans had to offer. Albert A.B. Brunies and his younger brother and trombonist George Brunies were initially hesitant but suggested the idea to friend trumpet player Paul Maris, who immediately lunged for the opportunity. "So I says, Paul, I says, Abby don't want to go to Chicago and I'm kind of leery, I'm afraid," George recalled. Paul says, "Man, give me that wire, I'll go." So Paul went to Chicago and introduced himself to Ragbaby Stevens, and Ragbaby liked him, and Paul got railroad fare from his father and sent me $60. George Brunies picked up his trombone and set off to join Maris in Chicago, playing gigs and going to after-hours clubs with Paul Maris. It was at one such club where the pair met some of their future bandmates, drummer Frank Snyder, pianist Elmer Schobel, and saxophonist Jack Pettis. The name New Orleans Rhythm Kings, in fact, did not initially refer to this group, but rather to a group under the direction of vaudeville performer by the name of B. Palmer. Though Palmer's group didn't last, one of the musicians from the group, clarinetist Leon Ropolo, did. Within several months of Palmer's group breaking up, Ropolo found himself playing on riverboats in Chicago with Elmer Schobel, Jack Pettis, Frank Snyder, George Brunies, banjoist Louis Black, and possibly Paul Maris. Maris, ready to move on from riverboat life, found the group an engagement at a club called the Friars Inn, owned by Mike Fritzl. Bassist Arnold Loyocano joined forces with the growing band and thus began the group's engagement at the Friars Inn that lasted 17 months, beginning in 1921. During this time, the group performed under the name the Friars Society Orchestra. While at the Friars Inn, the group attached the interest not only of fans but other musicians. Cornetist Big Spiderbeck, who had been sent to school in Chicago, this is what the article says, it was Lake Forest, by his parents in the hopes of removing any jazz influences. And again, that's not very clear. Maybe he was sent there because his academic work in high school was a disaster. Anyway, Bix attended some of the New Orleans Rhythm Kings shows or the Friars Society Orchestra, and he was allowed to perform with the band. So what I want to do now is play the first four recordings made by the Friars Society Orchestra, and the date of the first recordings for Jeanette was August 29, 1922. The recordings were made at the Jeanette Studios in Richmond, Indiana, the same studios where Bix began his recording career in 1924. First two recordings I want to play are Eccentric and Farewell Blues. The band consists of Elmer Schobel on piano, he's the arranger also and the director, Paul Maris on cornet, George Brunis trombone, Leon Rapolo clarinet, Jack Pettis C melody and tenor sax, Lou Black on banjo, Arnold Loyocano on string bass, Frank Snyder drums. And the recordings, the label of the recordings reads Friars Society Orchestra Direction Hosk O'Hare. Eccentric is a composition by Robinson, and Farewell Blues is a collective composition by three of the members of the band, Schobel, Rapolo, and Maris. So let's listen then to the Friars Society Orchestra, 1922, first Eccentric, then Farewell Blues. Thank you. forgot to mention that Bee Palmer was in Davenport with her Rhythm Kings. In fact, she got married in Davenport to her pianist Al Siegel. One of the Rhythm Kings was Emmett Hardy, who was apparently very helpful to Bix when Bix was beginning to play cornet. Emmett Hardy was about the same age as Bix, but much more experienced. Okay, let's continue then with the next two recordings of the Friars Society Orchestra of August 29, 1922. Composition of the band is the same as I indicated before for Eccentric and Farewell Blues. First, I'll play Discontented Blues, a composition by Myers, Schobel, and Miller. And then I'm going to play a jazz standard, Bugle Call Blues, as recorded by the Friars Society Orchestra. Eventually, it was known as Bugle Call Rec. Now, there is a question about the composer of this tune. According to the record label, the composers of Bugle Call Rec are Snyder, Pettis, and Brunis. But if you go, for example, to the Jazz Standards website and look at the Bugle Call Rec 1922, it gives us composers Jack Pettis, Billy Myers, and Elmer Schobel. So looks like I'm going to have to do a little digging in here to decide or find exactly what is going on regarding the authorship of Bugle Call Blues, eventually Bugle Call Rec. To make things even more complicated, there is a Bugle Call Rec composition by U.B. Blake and Carrie Morgan, recorded in 1916, February 2nd, 1916, by the Victor Military Band. Clearly there is some need to do a little digging into this question of the authorship of this tune. So let's listen then first to Discontented Blues and then Bugle Call Blues, the Friars Society Orchestra, August 29, 1922. Thank you. Now I want to move to recordings by the original Memphis Melody Boys. This was the name used by the Midway Gardens Orchestra for its recordings on Jeanette. Now let me read from Salthalter's Lost Chords some information about this band. At the end of 1922, the Midway Gardens, a popular dance hall at 60th and Cottage Grove Avenue near Washington Park on the south side, bought up the old Mary Gardens nearby, tearing down the walls and hedges between them and combining the two in one large Midway Dancing Gardens. The management hired Schobel away to form a brand new purpose-built house orchestra which could play hot dance music in a way that would satisfy its mostly young working class consumers. Schobel had his own ideas about running a dance band. At the Friars Inn, it had taken a lot of patience, persistence, and arduous rehearsal to frame the jamming within polished arranged passages. He'd expended much effort on a group which not only could not read music but seems to have fought him all the way in matters of rehearsal. This time he chose his men carefully, starting with trumpeter Arthur Murray Steinberg, who, though part of the Friars Inn circle, was a good reader and disciplined bandsman. For his rhythm section, he simply snapped up the team with which he felt at home, Lou Black, Steve Brown, and Frank Snyder. The first two recordings I want to play are from April 2, 1923, recorded in Richmond, Indiana, Jeanette Studios. The band consists of Elmer Schobel, piano, arranger, director, Murphy Steinberg, cornet, Santo Pecora, trombone, Charles Bezimek, Roy Kramer, clarinet, alto sax, Art Cassell, clarinet, tenor sax, Otto Barberini on violin in the second number that I'm going to play, Lou Black banjo, Steve Brown brass bass. A relative of Elmer Schobel, also named Schobel but first name unknown, on drums. First I'll play There's No Gal Like My Gal. Notice the Jewish sound in some of the music here. I also note that there is a cornet solo, and at one section the melody reminds me of My Gal's Cell. I will follow that with Wonderful Dream. Here we have a violin by Otto Barberino. So let's listen then to the original Memphis Melody Boys, a name obviously inspired by the well-known at the time original Memphis Five, but these are the original Memphis Melody Boys, pseudonym for the Midway Gardens Orchestra, April 2nd, 1923, Richmond, Indiana.
Thank you.
I will now move to the next two recordings from the session of April 2nd, 1923. First, Bluegrass Blues, and there is a section here that reminds me of some of these days. And then, Made a Monkey Out of Me. There is a banjo solo here, a vocal by Millie Myers, and it's sort of a novelty type number. So here we have again the Midway Gardens Orchestra using the name Original Memphis Melody Boys, 1923.
Thank you.
We now turn to Led's Black Aces. They recorded between 1921 and 1924 for Jeanette Studios in New York. This was the name used by the original Memphis Five for their recordings for Jeanette. The original Memphis Five, of course, were the great pioneer jazz band created by Phil Napoleon and Frank Signorelli. And then we had the other great musicians there, such as Miff Maul and Jimmy Lytell. All right, let's start with the W.C. Handy's Aunt Haggard's Children's Blues, recorded on July 13, 1921. According to recollections from Sam Lennon and Jimmy Durante, the members of the band were Phil Napoleon on trumpet, Mo Rapelli on the trombone, or Giappelli, I guess, Doc Berenson, clarinet, Jimmy Durante on piano, Jack Roth, drums. Follow that with Shake It and Break It, and here Sam Lennon does the shake and the break vocal. So let's listen then to Led's Black Aces, pseudonym used by the original Memphis Five for their recordings in Jeanette, July 13, 1921. Thank you. Well, let's wind up today's program with two additional tunes by Lads Black Aces. These are from October 21st, 1921. We have Phil Napoleon on trumpet, Mo Jappelli on trombone, Doc Berenson clarinet, Jimmy Durante piano, and Jack Roth drums, Lauren McMurray on alto sax, John Kelly on banjo. And the two numbers I want to play are Gypsy Blues, followed by I'm Just Too Mean to Cry. So here are Lads Black Aces, 1921.
Thank you.
I hope you have enjoyed this program of pre-Wolverines Jeanette records waxed by white musicians. They could play jazz, there's no question about it. All of the bands that I played were playing jazz, and this is before King Oliver's 1923 legendary recordings, also for Jeanette. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive. Yeah.